This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. Peptides discussed are not FDA approved for bodybuilding or performance enhancement. Always consult a qualified healthcare professional before using any peptide or supplement. If you lift weights, whether you are brand new to the gym or you have been under the bar for decades, you already understand one simple truth. Muscle is built when stress meets recovery. Training is the signal. Recovery is the adaptation. Most people obsess over the signal. They add more sets, more volume, more intensity, more days per week. Very few people truly optimize recovery. That is where peptides enter the conversation. Peptides are short chains of amino acids that act as signaling molecules in the body. They do not work like anabolic steroids. They do not force muscle growth. Instead, they tell your body to do what it already knows how to do, but more efficiently. They enhance communication between cells. For lifters, that communication matters because muscle growth, fat loss, connective tissue repair, sleep quality, and hormone signaling all rely on precise biological messages. When you lift, you create microtrauma in muscle fibers. That damage is not a bad thing. It is the stimulus for growth. But that damage also triggers inflammation, oxidative stress, and nervous system fatigue. If recovery lags behind training, progress stalls. You feel beat up. Your joints hurt. Your pumps fade. Your sleep suffers. Over time, strength plateaus or even declines. Peptides are not magic, but they can dramatically improve how well your body responds to training stress. Let's start with growth hormone-related peptides, because this is usually where lifters first hear about peptides. Growth hormone is not a muscle builder in the same way testosterone is. Growth hormone supports recovery, fat metabolism, connective tissue repair, and cellular regeneration. It works primarily through IGF-1, which acts locally in muscle tissue. The goal with growth hormone peptides is not to spike levels to unnatural extremes. The goal is to restore youthful, pulsatile secretion. Sermorelin is one of the most commonly used peptides in this category. It is a growth hormone-releasing hormone analog. That means it tells your pituitary gland to release your own growth hormone. It does not shut you down. It does not replace natural production. For lifters, sermorelin supports improved recovery between sessions, better sleep quality, and improved body composition over time. Many people notice deeper sleep within the first week. That matters because most growth hormone release occurs during deep sleep. Ipamorelin is another popular option. It works through a different pathway than sermorelin. It stimulates growth hormone release without significantly increasing cortisol or prolactin. This makes it attractive for lifters who want recovery benefits without unwanted hormonal side effects. Ipamorelin is often stacked with other peptides to create a more complete growth hormone signal. Tesamorelin deserves special mention for lifters who struggle with stubborn abdominal fat. Tesamorelin increases growth hormone output and has been shown to reduce visceral fat. While it is not a fat burner in the stimulant sense, it improves nutrient partitioning. That means calories are more likely to go toward muscle repair rather than fat storage. Many lifters report a leaner midsection over time without changes in appetite. CJC with DAC is sometimes discussed in lifting circles. It has a longer half-life and leads to more sustained growth hormone elevation. This can be beneficial, but it is not always ideal for everyone. Pulsatile release often mimics natural physiology more closely. This is why many lifters prefer combinations like sermorelin with ipamorelin or tesamorelin, depending on goals. Now, let's talk about recovery peptides, because this is where peptides truly shine for people who lift heavy and train often. BPC-157 is arguably one of the most valuable peptides for lifters. It supports tendon, ligament, and muscle repair. If you have ever dealt with elbow pain, shoulder irritation, knee issues, or chronic nagging injuries, BPC-157 can be a game changer. It works by enhancing angiogenesis, improving blood flow to injured tissue, and accelerating healing at the cellular level. Lifters often notice reduced joint pain and faster recovery from minor strains. It does not numb pain. It actually supports healing. This allows you to train consistently instead of constantly modifying workouts due to discomfort. Consistency is one of the biggest predictors of long-term progress in lifting. TB500 is another powerful recovery peptide. It works systemically to support tissue repair, reduce inflammation, and improve mobility. TB500 is particularly useful for lifters who train explosively or handle heavy loads. It supports muscle fiber repair and connective tissue resilience. Many people describe feeling looser, more mobile, and less stiff within weeks of use. GHK copper is often thought of as a skin peptide, but it has powerful effects on tissue repair and inflammation. For lifters, GHK copper supports collagen synthesis, improves recovery, and may enhance muscle repair indirectly. Collagen is not just about skin. It is essential for tendons, ligaments, and fascia. Healthy connective tissue allows muscles to produce force more efficiently. KPV is a peptide fragment with strong anti-inflammatory properties. Lifters who experience chronic systemic inflammation from high-volume training may benefit from peptides like KPV. Lower inflammation does not mean blunted adaptation. It means your body can allocate resources toward repair instead of constantly fighting excessive inflammatory signals. Now let's talk about mitochondrial and metabolic peptides, because energy production matters when you lift. MOSC is a peptide that enhances mitochondrial function. Mitochondria are the power plants of your cells. Better mitochondrial efficiency means improved endurance, better recovery, and improved metabolic flexibility. Lifters using MOSC often report better workout stamina and less fatigue between sessions. NAD plus related therapies also support cellular energy. NAD is involved in redox reactions and mitochondrial function. While not a peptide itself, it is often used alongside peptides. Improved cellular energy translates into better training output and faster recovery. Fat loss peptides are often misunderstood in the lifting community. Many lifters avoid fat loss compounds out of fear of losing muscle. The right peptides do not work by suppressing appetite to extremes or increasing catabolism. Instead, they improve metabolic signaling. EOD9604 is a fragment of growth hormone that specifically targets fat metabolism without significantly affecting blood sugar or muscle mass. Lifters often use it during cutting phases to preserve strength while leaning out. GLP-1-based peptides are sometimes used cautiously by lifters. While they reduce appetite, they also improve insulin sensitivity and nutrient partitioning. Used intelligently, they can support recomposition phases. The key is adequate protein intake and resistance training intensity. Peptides do not replace discipline. They amplify what you already do. Now, let's address performance and neurological peptides. CMAX and C-Link are nootropic peptides that support focus, stress resilience, and motivation. Lifting is not just physical. It is neurological. CNS fatigue can limit strength gains even when muscles are capable. Improved focus and reduced anxiety can improve training quality. Many lifters notice better mind-muscle connection and improved consistency in training sessions. PT141 is not a muscle peptide, but it affects motivation and confidence through central nervous system pathways. While primarily known for sexual health, improved confidence and drive can indirectly affect training intensity and adherence. It is important to talk about expectations. Peptides are not anabolic steroids. They will not add 20 pounds of muscle in a year. They will not override poor programming, poor sleep, or inadequate nutrition. What they do is improve the environment in which muscle is built. Better recovery, better sleep, better tissue integrity, better metabolic signaling. For lifters over 35, peptides can be especially valuable. Recovery slows with age. Growth hormone output declines. Connective tissue becomes less resilient. Peptides help close that gap. They allow you to train like you did in your 20s without feeling destroyed all the time. Another critical point is cycling and moderation. More is not better. Peptides work through receptors. Overuse can reduce responsiveness. Smart lifters use peptides in structured cycles aligned with training phases. For example, recovery peptides during high-volume blocks, growth hormone peptides during strength phases, fat metabolism peptides during cutting phases. Injection fear is common, but most peptides are administered subcutaneously with tiny insulin needles. The process is quick and generally well tolerated. Oral peptides exist, but bioavailability varies. Injectable peptides tend to be more predictable. Sourcing matters. Peptides should be obtained from reputable research suppliers with third-party testing. Poor quality peptides are not just ineffective. They can be unsafe. Always prioritize purity and transparency. It is also important to track progress. Pay attention to sleep quality, joint comfort, recovery time, strength trends, and body composition. Peptides often work subtly at first. The biggest sign they are working is consistency. Fewer missed workouts. Less pain. Better performance week to week. One of the most overlooked benefits of peptides for lifters is longevity. Training is a lifelong pursuit for many people. Peptides help preserve joints, connective tissue, and metabolic health so you can keep lifting for decades. Strength is not just about muscle size. It is about resilience. Nutrition still matters. Peptides do not replace protein intake. They do not replace calories. They do not replace micronutrients. They make your body better at using what you give it. Think of peptides as amplifiers, not substitutes. Sleep cannot be skipped. Growth hormone peptides work best when sleep is prioritized. Deep sleep is where recovery happens. Peptides can improve sleep quality, but they cannot fix chronic sleep deprivation. Hydration matters. Tissue repair and nutrient delivery depend on proper hydration. Peptides increase cellular activity. Cells need water to function optimally. Training smart matters. Peptides will not protect you from ego lifting. Progressive overload, proper form, and intelligent programming are still required. When used responsibly, peptides can be one of the most powerful tools in a lifter's toolbox. They bridge the gap between training stress and recovery capacity. They allow you to push hard without breaking down. They support the biology behind strength and muscle growth. The future of performance is not about brute force pharmacology. It is about precision signaling. Peptides represent that shift. They work with your body instead of against it. This podcast is not a recommendation to use any peptide. It is a framework for understanding how peptides interact with lifting, recovery, and performance so you can make informed decisions with a qualified professional. Thanks for listening. Keep learning and stay curious.